I want to welcome those who are watching online and remind you that you're in our second of three worship services. And if you're watching live, we have a pastor who is going to be interacting with you. His name is Greg Hook, and he answers any questions that you might have regarding the message live on social media, whether it's Facebook or YouTube. However, if you're here in the room or online and have a question, remember that you can text your question during the service to this number that's on the screen, and Abraham, after the conclusion of the service, will come and will ask a couple of questions that you've sent in. And I guarantee you, you're going to have some questions today, because we're going to be discussing whether or not events in your life happen by chance or by providence. I want you to consider all the things that you've been through in your life. And I want you to seriously contemplate whether or not those things are a result of chance or luck. Let me define it for you. Chance is a purposeless, unpredictable, and uncontrollable force that shapes events favorably or unfavorably for an individual, group, or cause. You would call it luck. It would be like you being in an accident and you say to someone, man, I was lucky. I wasn't hurt. Or you might receive a blessing. Then somebody says, how did that happen to you? You say, oh, it was just dumb luck. It was just pure chance. It's uncontrollable, purposeless, no rhyme or reason to it. It just happens. Or is it providence? The word providence comes from two Latin words, pro, which means before, and videre, which in Latin means to see. Providence has the idea that someone sees before and works things out for your good. And that someone, of course, is God. So often you will see providence capitalized because it's a reference to deity. Providence is God's good care and control, which he exercises over the events in your life, working all things for your benefit, because God sees your true needs. The word providence is the same root word from which we get the word provision. Provision. If you want to know what you need in life, do you trust providence, the God who created you, who sees and knows and provides, or is it just pure chance? This morning in Ruth chapter 2, we're going to see how Ruth first met her future husband. His name is Boaz. And we're going to ask the question, was it luck? Was it chance? Or was it divine providence? Ask yourself this question. You're married today. Was it luck? Was it bad luck? Is it chance? Or is it providence? Ruth chapter 2 will begin with verse 1. Remember, before we read the text, that Naomi is a foreign woman. Her homeland is Moab. And she met a young man who had come there with his family from Judah, from Bethlehem. They were Jews. And she married him. And over the years, he died. And her father-in-law, who was a Jew, he also died. So now Ruth is left with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And they come back to Naomi's homeland, to Bethlehem. We saw this last week. And they enter the city, and the people hardly recognize Naomi because it's been over a decade that she's been gone. And they see for the first time this young Moabitess woman named Ruth. These two ladies have no money, very few prospects, good prospects for the future. They need a job. They need a place to stay. They're in desperate straits. And what happens in Ruth chapter 2 is extraordinary. Let's read it. Verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Do you see the word kinsman there? It's the first time we come in contact with this word in the book of Ruth, and we'll see it in multiple places in the chapters to come. Why is it important to understand that Boaz, whom Ruth will meet in just a moment, is a kinsman of Naomi? Because of the concept of kinsman redemption. In the Jewish law, it's stated in Leviticus 25, verse 25, if one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor, that's what happened to Naomi, and sells all of their property, that's what Naomi and Elimelech did, then their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. That's the kinsman. Now, I'll show you in the weeks to come how Boaz is a picture of Jesus. Ruth pictures you. Just like Ruth, you're foreign to the things of God. You're lost in a country that is not your home. You need deliverance. And God, in his love for you, has sent you a kinsman. Jesus is your kinsman redeemer. And we'll see this theme through the book of Ruth. But right now, Ruth has got to meet Boaz. Is it chance or is it providence? By the way, Naomi didn't know about Boaz. You see, she'd been gone over a decade. The person who tells us that Boaz is a kinsman is the writer of the book of Ruth. And many people believe that the same man who wrote Judges wrote Ruth. He interjects this in verse 1 as the narrator of the story. But more than likely, Naomi didn't even know about Boaz. So let's continue. Verse 2. The Bible says, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And so Ruth departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now let me say a word about gleaning. I had a Sunday school class at a church back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I pastored, called the Gleaners. And they were the sweetest, kindest women you'd ever want to meet. But they didn't understand that gleaning was backbreaking, dirty, denigrating work. Basically, if you were poor and needed food, you would go out to the fields like Ruth did to glean, to pick up from the dirt what was left over. And anybody that was gleaning was often looked down upon as the poor and the outcast of society. And so the Bible says Ruth goes out and begins gleaning in the field of Boaz. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, his home, out to his fields. And he said to the reapers, may the Lord, may Yahweh be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Referring to Ruth. And the servant who was in charge of the reapers replied, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said to us, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house, taking a break for a little while. Now that's our text. But out of these seven verses, I want to show you just one phrase this morning as we answer the question, are the events in your life perchance or by providence? The Bible says that she, meaning Ruth, departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. In the New International Version, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, that little phrase, "she happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz," is translated, "as it turned out, she came to the field belonging to Boaz." Now, I grew up on the King James Version. And in the King James Version, which I memorized as a boy, it says, "her hap was to light on the field belonging to Boaz." It's a good thing we don't read King James anymore. What in the world does it mean, "her hap was to come to the field belonging to Boaz"? Well, hap is an old English word used in the 17th century by the King James translators. If they would have used the word hap, which they did in translating the Greek scriptures, everyone in England in the 1600s would have known what they meant. Hap means luck. It means chance. And it's the root word for happiness. Isn't that interesting? Do you realize that most people in English-speaking countries believe that happiness in this life is perchance? In fact, I'll even go further and say this. It is an axiom, it's a striking fact, that in every Indo-European language without exception, going all the way back to ancient Greek, the word for happiness is a cognate with the word for luck in every Indo-European language. So the Bible says she chanced upon the field. Her hap was to come to the field. Now, another translation. The ESV says she happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz, just like the NAS. And by the way, you see the word happened there? You get the word hap. And then the Jewish Bible, the Jerusalem translation, "as luck would have it." Our Jewish friends are not as fearful of the word luck or the word chance. And so in their translation of the Old Testament Bible, it says, "as luck would have it, Ruth comes to the field belonging to Boaz." You say, "well, good night." It doesn't help me with whether or not things in my life are by chance or by providence. Yeah, I know. And the actual Hebrew may not help you either. Listen to it. The Bible says, "by chance, she chanced upon the field belonging to Boaz." So I got to ask you a question. Is it luck? Is it chance? Is it blind fate? Is it happenstance? Is it a purposeless, non-directed fact that you are where you are in life right now? It's a good question. In fact, I would say that your understanding of this phrase, "she chanced upon the field of Boaz," determines your worldview. So let's look at it. This phrase in the Hebrew is used in other places of Scripture. And what we'll see is that the Bible reveals that God is the divine cause of what seems to you like chance. I'm on Twitter, and every now and then I think to myself, I ought not be on Twitter. You'll tweet something out, and people will read it, and they'll tweet something back, and you'll realize that they don't understand a thing that you've said or written. And it's as if you're talking two different languages. They're talking one language, you're talking another, and you don't understand each other. And this happened even yesterday on Twitter with me and a friend. He doesn't believe in a good God who carefully orchestrates events in his life. He doesn't believe in providence. He's an agnostic. Doesn't even know if you can know if there's a God. And so when you talk about chance or luck, he'll gravitate toward that. Oh, yeah. You're lucky if you're happy because your chances just happened to be such. Your happenstances happen to be happy. But my language is this. You have a loving God who's always good to you. And just like Ruth came to the field of Boaz because God intended for Ruth to be the grandmother of King David. And just because God intended that Ruth, a Moabitess woman who was rejected by the world, would be the ancestor of the true kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, for she's in his lineage, in the gospel lineage of Jesus in the book of Matthew. God brought Ruth to the field of Boaz for his good purposes. Now let me prove it to you from Scripture. There's another place where this phrase is used. It's in the book of Genesis. And the Bible tells us the story of an old man by the name of Isaac who is dying. And I won't recount all the facts regarding the story, but he's got a son named Jacob who comes in who wants the blessing of the family. And before Isaac bestows the blessing upon Jacob, who, by the way, he thinks is Esau, he says, go get me some food. I want some meat for stew. And so Jacob, who's in cahoots with his mother to get the birthright, goes out and his mother already has the meat ready. Now, we got a lot of hunters at Emmanuel. I'm not a hunter. But I know back in the day, you would tell me if you're going to go out to get game, to cook stew for your dad, it would take a while. You have to be intentional. You have to plan. You have to make provision. You have to have foresight, right? Of course. But Jacob comes back very quickly with meat to make stew for his dad. And Isaac, blind Isaac, asks this question, how did you find it so quickly? And listen to what Jacob said. He responded, Yahweh, your God, gave me success. And do you see the little phrase that says, gave me success? It is the exact phrase used in Ruth 2, verse 3. Yahweh caused chance to chance upon my face. You see, in the Hebrew scriptures, we understand that this phrase is directed by Yahweh. I'll give you another example. In the book of Esther, the Jewish people were about to face extinction. Xerxes was duped into killing the Jews. And so there was a woman that he had married, a woman, a Hebrew woman named Esther, that was appealed to by the Jews to help them, to deliver them, to redeem them. And in the last appeal that is made to Esther before she approaches Xerxes, one of her Jewish mentors says this to her, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Do you know why this verse is important? Because it shows that God has a plan for the Jewish people. He's got a plan for all his people, and it's a good plan. And what is said to Esther is this, look, you've been placed in the kingdom of Xerxes for such a time as this, but even if you choose not to help, God's purposes will not be thwarted. Another will arise to deliver his people. You see, the scripture indicates throughout that God is the divine cause behind all those events that seem to you to be chance. How about these verses that back up what I'm saying in the book of Proverbs? A human heart makes the plans, but Yahweh gives the answer. You can decide you're going to do something. You can make your plans, but it is the Lord who gives the answer. Therefore, any businessman in this room who makes plans for the future, it should always be, these are my plans, but it is the Lord who gives the answer. How about this verse? The dice are thrown, but their every decision is from the Lord. In the King James Version, which I memorized as a boy, it said this, the die are cast, but the Lord turns the face of each dice thereof. Now, do not take this verse and go to the casino. Because the Lord's intention may be for you to lose all your money. Don't tempt the Lord. The point, the principle is simply this. You do what you think is chance, but the Lord is the divine cause behind it all. It's one of the reasons why when the apostles lost one, lots were drawn. And people were like, wait a minute. Why would they draw lots? Why don't they go through this search committee process? Why don't they go through this process by where everybody looks for the best, the tallest, the most gifted, and so on, and he'll be the apostle? Because even the disciples understood that the dice are thrown, but the Lord turns the face thereof. Better to be humble with the poor than to share spoils with the proud. You know what this verse means? You know what a humble man is? A humble man is the one who recognizes that he is not the captain of his ship. Captains are pretty proud people. A humble man is the man who recognizes he's not the surgeon for his soul. Doctors can be pretty proud people. A humble man is the one who eats his bread, thanking providence for the provision. Now hear me. You often will not see providence in the middle of your affliction. You see, what I want to impress upon you is that in this story of Ruth, she meets this incredible man named Boaz. She gets married. She becomes the great-grandmother of King David. She's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. Oh, my word, this Moabite foreign woman that was looked down upon by the Hebrew people, God loved her. She's you. She's you. Do you know Christ this morning? Are you blessed? Do you have the assurance that the God who flung the stars is now making provision for you? Understand, in the middle of gleaning, Ruth didn't yet see the goodness of God. And it could be in the middle of your heartache, some of it caused by you, in the middle of those things that are happening in your life that others would call evil. Understand, God is never the cause of evil, ever. Anybody who says that's a liar. Oh, but he is providence. He is the one who sees. And as A.W. Pink once beautifully stated, God either permits, promotes, or prohibits all things. And in your life, when you're gleaning and it is back-breaking work, when your face is down in the dirt and you're picking up the leftovers of what the others have left behind, and people are catcalling you and calling you all kinds of names, and you feel the shame of your life, understand, you're Ruth. And you didn't just happen by chance to come to this field. No. Yahweh may chance to chance upon your face. You see, some of us want to know what the will of God is, and so we look through the telescope out into the future and we say, oh, what does he want for my life 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? But in Scripture, the will of God is not so much viewed through a telescope as it is a rearview mirror. And when you can understand that even during those gleaning times of life, God has brought you to the field, because your Redeemer is waiting, you can come to peace with where you're at and trust that your good God is making a way. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God works all things together for our good. You know, Paul says, and we know. I'm not sure how many people know that anymore. I'm not sure how many millennials know that anymore. It's all chance. It's all fate. It's all luck. It's all happenstance. No, Paul says, and we know that God works all things according to our good, for our good. Do you realize that that verse doesn't say all things are good? It is not good when a child is abused. That's evil. It is not good when a man loses his job. That's just wrong. It's not good when a child dies before his mom and dad. That's unnatural. It's not good when a divorce happens. It hurts. But God is providentially working all things for your good. The same word translated working in that text is the word from which we get our English word symphony. If you ever buy a ticket to go to a symphony and they only play minor notes, you will demand your money back. But when you understand that the director of the symphony knows what he's doing and the minor notes are worked in with the major notes, you have a beautiful piece of music, right? Understand that nothing in your life is by chance. It's by providence. And your God loves you.